This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Two hours left here on Late Night. 651-989-9226. If you'd like to chime in, Twins baseball, Vikings Packers. We'll get to some high school football this hour as well. We talked to Steve Thompson last hour. We'll get to an interview that he did with Rich Welke, the head coach, Andover. They win tonight over Monticello. I know that you're just giddy right now. I know, Chris, I know you're one of us. You're from here. But on the television that me and you are both staring at, you've got Houston Cougar football on a Friday night. And you know a little bit about Houston.
Whose house? Coug's house.
A little bit about Texas.
Yeah, I heard about that, y'all.
I saw the way you glanced at the TV. And you're a little bit upset that the kid didn't come down with the interception. But this is the thing about sports. Because I love sports. I love all the various different sports, some more than others, but I just love the competition, right, of all the different sports. And there's some sports that I look at and I say, this bores me a little bit, but then there are other sports that I'm in it the whole entire time. But there's one thing that I want to do that I've never done.
Okay.
And I want to do it in the next couple of years. And it's hard to do this time of year because we're all into Viking football, Gopher football, and all that stuff. But at some point, I want to go to a high school football game in Texas.
Oh, dude.
Seriously, because I hear it's out of control. Like, some of the stadiums that I've seen photographs and video of, mm-hmm. It's like, are you kidding me?
It is.
And there are stadiums in Texas that make the TCO Performance Center Stadium look like it's nothing.
Yeah. I mean, there are some that rival the bank where the Gophers play.
I mean, imagine that for a second.
I mean, I've called high school games in college in Texas. The press boxes are better than colleges.
Think about that.
I mean, you can Google Katy, Texas football.
Yeah, it's Katy with a K.
K-A-T-Y, Texas. It's a suburb of Houston. It's an affluent suburb. They got money. But that is just that.
Oh, they're serious about their football.
Oh, are you? They say that, like, Friday Night Lights. They say everything's bigger in Texas. I mean, they are not lying. From the football stadium to the tailgate to the band to everything is just done on a different level, high school wise. And you feel like it is a big time. It feels like on a regular basis, it could rival a Northern Sun. Or an MIAC or surpass that. And I'm not even joking about, and that's no disrespect because I know we carry St. Thomas, and St. Thomas is the measuring stick for what we're talking about in the MIAC. But I'm telling you, man, high school football in Texas, it's just, if it's on your bucket list, you will not be disappointed.
When was the first time that you attended a high school football game in Texas? Like, how old were you?
Oh, it was a couple of years ago.
Okay,
when I called my first high school game in Texas.
All right, so the reason and you were blown away, right?
I was floored. I thought it was all lip service. They're like, oh man, y'all ain't gonna believe what we're doing down here now. It's gonna be like nothing you've ever seen. And I'm like, come on, are you kidding me?
All right, let me put it in perspective.
Okay. Yes.
The first year that I got to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Jayhawk fan. Okay, everybody knows that about me. One of the things that I loved about going to Kansas City And this was something that sealed the deal for me, at least, okay, was that I was going to have an opportunity to cover KU basketball, okay? So the station that I went to was the radio home for the Royals and the radio home for the Kansas Jayhawks, okay? So I'm like giddy. I'm like, okay, Bill Self, let's
there,
go.
I'm like,
let's go, right?
Checks a couple of boxes.
I'm like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
So they do in every big time university, and even I don't even want to say big time, but all of the schools do some form of like a midnight madness type of deal, mm-hmm. right? They have some college football, like a kickoff. Not college football, college basketball.
College basketball, right.
College basketball kickoff. And they don't call theirs, you know, midnight madness or anything. It didn't start at midnight. It's late night at the Fog. Okay.
Okay.
Fog Allen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Allen Fieldhouse. So I had been to KU, but it had been like 15 years prior, right? That's how long it had been since I had been to Lawrence. So on that particular day, a buddy of mine that was one of the hosts on the morning show, okay, I do middays there. He was doing mornings, but he also was part of the KU broadcast team. I ride up with him, okay, because we don't live all that far from each other on Metcalf Avenue and in Overland Park or whatever. So I go to his house, I hop in with him, and I'm riding with him. So we're riding up, and we pull into Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
And we're in a little bit of traffic, okay? And I'm like, okay, all right, this is nice little traffic jam.
Is this the first time you'd been to Allen Fieldhouse?
No, I've been, but it had been like 15 years.
Okay, so really.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, there's a little bit of traffic here, right? But yeah. You know, it's all good. So he's maneuvering, he's going down side streets, right, to get to the parking lot.
Yeah.
And once we got closer to Allen Fieldhouse and the parking ramp, I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, what is going on? So it was one of those deals where you see it on game day where you got like the Dukies and the tents.
Yeah.
And you like even with college football game day and this massive amounts of kids, that's what it was.
People are camping out just waiting.
The lines so just to put things in perspective, people, late night at the Fog is not you can buy a ticket. There's no buying tickets. It's free. It's a free ticket, right? It's free. It's like you get in the door free, right? The line was wrapped around I don't know where the line began. So when it gets filled up, they cut it off. Okay? So literally there were people, like students, that had been camping out to be like the first in line, right?
Was it all students?
Or No. It was student and also like I mean, people
they were
my
regular
age.
Folks,
yeah,
too.
They're regular folks, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But diehard KU fans,
yeah.
Right? And I'm just like, this is amazing. Like, this is just like a night practice. So we go in because we got our credentials and stuff like that.
Sure.
We go in and we're sitting courtside, right? Because we're doing a live show. We're doing a show after things are going to get jumping off, right?
You got goosebumps at this point?
Yeah, so things are about to get started. We're doing the show. It's basically a live broadcast courtside for the late night at the late night at the Fog.
Yeah.
Just so everybody is clear on this, this is my first one, and it happens to be the freshman class of Andrew Wiggins, Joel Embiid, trust the process, Wayne Selden, that entire crew. Frank Mason. And so I was so beyond giddy. I mean, literally, Andrew Wiggins was in GQ that year. Okay? So everybody is like amped up. This thing, because it's a thing, it was not just a practice. This was like the ESPYs. That's how detailed it was. They had skits that they did. Players, coaches, the whole night. It was produced that way. It was hosted by Rob Riggle.
So it wasn't even.
No. Don't talk over that. Rob Riggle, the comedian, he hosted it. Like, it's a big-time deal. So I'm like, I have died and went to heaven. Rock Chalk Jayhawk. This is amazing. Mind blown. Now, we didn't get the results that we wanted that season because they ended up losing in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. But, man, that was just absolutely – so my point to this story is that there are certain things that transpire when it comes to sports that when you've never been a part of it, it blows your mind. Like, for instance, I had people texting me earlier this year, but it was the time of the Minnesota State High School Hockey Tournament. Mm-hmm. And they're talking to me about the all-hair team thing. And people are like, that's so cool. I'm like, yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
And people were like amped up. The same way that they were amped up about that, I was amped up about going to Late Night at the Fog, the same way that you were amped up about going to a high school football game in Texas.
Well, I think the cool thing about that is that when you get something that big and you're there for basketball, it's got nothing to do with basketball. It's everything else surrounding basketball.
It's and everything, the atmosphere.
And when you get somebody like a Rob Riggle who is, you know, dyed in the wool Kansas City. He's like Eric Stonestreet.
He's a KU guy, yep.
He's a KU guy. I mean, Eric Stonestreet.
And he's a K-State guy. He's a K-State guy.
Because I think of both those guys as being like Kansas City guys. Maybe I'm just...
Yep. You're right. They're all, because they all come together for... There's a big celebrity deal that they do with the Royals. It's a baseball weekend deal that they do with the Royals.
Yeah.
And it's all going to great causes and I think the money that's raised goes towards one of the children's hospitals there.
Okay.
The point of it is that, yeah, they take great pride in that.
Oh, yeah. And I know there's a very distinct difference between Manhattan and Lawrence.
No question.
K-State and KU. I mean, that's – Allen Fieldhouse is someplace that I've always wanted to go. And I spent a lot of years on the other side of that in Missouri, in Columbia, covering Mizzou. So I got to see KU when they came into Mizzou Arena, and it was the Hearn Center before that. I mean, I go back. I can't believe I go back to the days of the Big Eight when I was in Columbia the first time, which surprises me.
You're talking about Norm and back in the day.
Norm Stewart Court. But I mean, I think people forget about
the Band Aid Man, Derek Chivas.
Oh man, yeah. You just forget about how iconic like something like Allen Fieldhouse is. Because a lot of people look at, KU's going to be a good team, but yeah, what am I going to do with my bracket? Well, KU's going to get beat in the second or third. That's just what people remember about KU basketball.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, man, there aren't a lot of facilities, stadiums that I've been to where I literally get goosebumps.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps every time that I went to Allen Fieldhouse.
Oh, I bet.
And I'm not talking about like I got goosebumps that night and then we just moved on. No, I got goosebumps going in there every single time. The history surrounding Allen Fieldhouse, just the nostalgia of it all. You're walking through and you're seeing the stuff about the Hall of Fame area where you hear about Wilt Chamberlain, all the greats. Come on, man.
That's a lot. And you're
when you pull into the KU campus and you're going up to Allen Fieldhouse. You know what road you're riding down? Naismith Drive.
See, that's
Naismith Drive. Who created the game of basketball? Come on, now. Doesn't get any better than that. All right, coming up next, Steve Thompson from WCCO. He was out at Monticello versus Andover. He caught up with the winning coach post game. You're going to hear it next here on Late Night. All right, coming up in less than 10 minutes, we'll talk to Jeff Madej, Lake's Big Bet. Final weekend of live racing at Canterbury Park. Make sure that you check them out tomorrow. Go put a couple dollars down on the ponies. We're going to give you a couple of horses in a few different races, one at Canterbury, one at Churchill, and one at Woodbine. We'll do that next segment. But this segment, let's talk some high school football. We'll get to some scores here in a couple of minutes. But first, we have Steve Thompson. He caught up with the winning coach from the Monticello Andover game, and that was Andover winning that game 16-7. He caught up with Coach Welke after the game. Awesome job there, Steve. I truly appreciate it, man. Yes, Andover defeats Monticello tonight 16-7, and thanks a lot to Coach Welke for joining the show and the program tonight. All right, now Chris Tubbs, he's got a few other scores that we should get to you right now.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a look at a few of them, Henry. First of all, starting in Class 6A, it was number one Lakeville North defeating Rosemont 20-3. Second rank Eden Prairie shut out Minnetonka and the Skippers 19-0. White Bear Lake over Stillwater 24-14. Wayzata the Trojans over Prior Lake late 14-10. And Maple Grove taking care of Edina 20-7. Those are some of the scores that we have. Let's move down to 5A here as Edgar defeated Dover Iota 42-8. Moorhead, in a high-scoring game, they fell late to Delano 40-34. It was Tartan the Titans over Hill Murray and the Pioneers 40-7. I'm looking right down here. Rogers over Cambridge Isanti 42-14. St. Thomas Academy shut out Matamidi 38-0. Brainerd 26-3 over Sauk Rapids Rice. We got Southwest over Washburn 28-21. Becker shut out St. Paul Apollo 53-0. Those are some of the scores. We have a couple more that we'll pass along here quickly, and I know we can't get to all of them. Elk River over St. Francis 42-36, and Robbinsdale Cooper 49-25 over St. Louis Park.
No question. All right, and maybe we'll get to a few more a little bit later here before we round out the show in the 12 o'clock hour. But coming up next, we'll talk to Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park. The final day of live racing, the final weekend this weekend. Make sure that you make it out to the track tomorrow. We'll talk to Jeff about some of the races and what's going on at Canterbury. We'll do that next year on Lake Night. All right, it's time for Lake's Big Bet here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And I'll be honest, it seems like it's been forever since I talked to my guy, Jeff Madej. We've been away from each other way too long. I haven't had a chance to really hang out at Canterbury much this summer. The Twins have kept me busy. The Vikings have kept me busy. But Jeff Madej, no worries. You will see me in the press box really, really soon. Probably as soon as next weekend. Next week is my birthday week. And so Saturday, I think I might venture out to the track. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, come on out. Things have conspired to keep us apart, Henry, but it's good to hear that you'll come out next week. We will be here in the regular gang. Of course, there'll be no live racing, but plenty of simulcasting, and we will be ready for you. I'll alert all of your fans.
Alert all of my fans. That'll be all of about maybe one or two people. But, yeah. So this weekend is the final weekend of live racing. Just kind of let the people know what you guys may have going on here in the final couple days.
Well,
we
just concluded a race night now, in fact, and you know it was we've got one more tomorrow. We run at 12:45, but a couple of cool things happened tonight. 14 races, 10 of them were won by either Mac Robertson or Robertino Diodoro, our two top trainers. They each won 5, and we go in tomorrow with Robertson, who's seeking his 13th title, 3 wins ahead of Diodoro. But something else went on in the Tom Metzen Sprint. A horse named Hotshot Kid, who I'm sure you're familiar with,
yep,
won the race in 108 and change, fastest 6 for a long time in the meet, and with his $33,000 in earnings in that purse, he passed the great Blair's Cove, who ran back from 1987 to 1992 to become the all-time leading money earning Minnesota bred thoroughbred. So that's pretty cool. I mean, that goes back a long, long time. And that's when, you know, so it just tells you how good Hotshot Kid is. He's won 5 stakes races here at Canterbury this year, something that I don't think has ever been done. I conferred with some historians of Canterbury, and no one could come up with a horse winning 5 stakes in one meet. So pretty cool night tonight. And then we'll do it all again tomorrow, 12:45, 14 races.
Man, see, this is the reason why I need to be at the track board, because I'm looking here, and I knew I couldn't get out there tonight because clearly Twins baseball, and then we got the show. But then Twins baseball, they canceled, so they got a doubleheader tomorrow. And initially, we were going to try to sneak in a conversation right around like 9:15 or 9:30-ish. But then we said, you know what, we got to stick to the 11:30 schedule here on the show, because that's what people are accustomed to getting. So we said, let's just go ahead and we'll talk at 11:30. So that means we couldn't handicap live on the air, because that's what I wanted to do. Like, that was something that we kind of came up with last second. And the horse that I was looking at in that race was Hotshot Kid, which we've had that horse a couple of times this summer. The other horse in that race I was looking at was Silver Rye, but absolutely Hotshot Kid. Congratulations to the connections there.
Yeah, really a fun race. And he was 4-5. He paid $3.80, but sometimes, you know, you take what you can get and you watch history being made. It was really a fun night here at the track. But so tomorrow with closing day, it's kind of bittersweet. I hate summer to end, and it sure feels like it has. It's been a real it's been a real fun race meet. You know, it's been pretty successful. We've had some really big crowds and some exciting racing. So it gives us something to look forward to next year as we continue to tweak and improve things. And I appreciate the fans that have supported us throughout the summer. It's been a lot of fun.
Now, even though there's no live racing going on over the course of the winter and stuff like that, whatever, there are many reasons to go out to Canterbury Park because, number one, and let's just go through a few of them before we start taking a look at some of the races that we'll dive into here in a couple of minutes. But you guys opened up a new steakhouse this summer.
We did, Little Chicago Chop House, and that's going it's going pretty well. The food is fantastic. The service has been good. Yeah, we're kind of getting into stride here with the steakhouse. It's quite an endeavor to try to open a restaurant in the casino, but I think people are starting to catch on and figuring it out. So there's some promise there with that, and we opened the Trifecta Cafe in the Card Casino as well, and that's doing real well. Pretty cool the menus with Asian cuisine and Italian cuisine. The chef that came from Pozzoluna has got an extensive history in Italian cooking, so it's good to see him work some of his magic in there as well. And then if you want a hot dog, well, heck, we got that too.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on. You just said Pozzoluna from St. Paul, one of my favorite spots. So, yeah, I definitely need to be there. I will be checking it out over the course of the winter time. So not only do you got the great food, but also one of the things that I like to do over the course of the winter time, Jeff, is because everybody falls in love with, you know, the springtime and getting into the summer. Where you have the you have Churchill Downs with the Kentucky Derby, and then you have the Preakness that's at Pimlico, and then you also have the Belmont Stakes. But to be effective in cash tickets, you got to track the horses that are on the Derby trail, and there's no better place to be to go wager on the weekends and check out all of the wintertime tracks, whether it's Oaklawn, whether it's Gulfstream Park, whatever. You got to follow the top three-year-olds over the course of the winter.
You're right, and it's relatively easy to do. I mean, you can find a lot of information on Canterbury's blog, canterburylive.com, and the 3-year-old season kicks in January. We've got a free handicapping contest every Saturday as well, where you can win some cash while handicapping these races and making selections. So there's a lot of kind of fun and the excitement builds as we get towards the Derby. So you're right. We're seeing some 2-year-olds run now throughout the fall leading into the Breeders' Cup. And then once we turn the page into 2020 and the 2-year-olds become 3-year-olds, that's when they really intensify and you start to see the big prep races and the horses start to sort themselves out. So you are correct. It is fun. If you can get in and start following it, it all starts to make a lot of sense as you approach that Kentucky Derby.
I love it, man. So you'll see me out there most notably on Saturday afternoons, watch a little college football out there and wagering on the races. But let's get to the races, okay? Tomorrow's the final day of live racing. You said 14 races on the card. Let's take a glance at an allowance optional claiming race, race number 8, a mile on the turf. This particular race, this is a nice full field of 11 horses. One had to scratch, right? I think it was a 2-horse that had to scratch. No, that was a race from earlier tonight. That was a race we were looking at a little bit, race 11. So you got 12
no
horses.
Yes.
Yeah, so you got 12 horses in tomorrow's race. The horse that I landed on in race 8 is the 8, Glamorized. I just really like the way that this horse is really coming into his own. The last couple of times out, I know he didn't get it on the turf to back, but on August the 30th, at a mile, this horse won going away.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there with that horse. And this is the type of fields that you're going to see all day tomorrow. You're going to see big fields at Canterbury. There's just so many horses that were entered, trying to get that last start in. But I could see, I looked at the program, and one of your friends, Angela Herman, who does our program analysis, also has Glamorized on top at 5-1. Mac Robertson is the trainer. We mentioned that he's the leading trainer, owned by Joe Novogratz, who is our second leading owner. So he's in a battle, too. And it means a lot to these guys to win the owner's title. That kind of honor is important to them. So I think these horses are all well-intended. With Alex Conchari aboard, that 5-1 looks pretty good. Max also got a horse in there named Carriage, who is on the rail with Francisco Arrieta, our leading jockey right now. Carriage is 6-1, so you're getting big prices on our top rider. And Carriage, once shifted to the turf, has become a monster and has won, I believe, 2 in a row and 2nd in his first try on the turf. So those are two horses to absolutely take a look at, and you might get a square price on our top trainer.
Talking to Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park here on Lake's Big Bet on News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's take a look at race number 8 at Churchill Downs tomorrow. The Locust Grove, grade 3, a mile and a 16th. This is a very competitive race. You got My Lady Curlin, very impressive on the PPs here, and he's going off at 5-2. But the horse that I am looking at, and I think he can get the distance clearly, is Escape Clause, all speed. I think he goes through the front, and everybody's trying to catch him.
Yeah, and that's why I sent you this particular race, because I was hoping you might take a look at Escape Clause. This little, she's 5 years old now, but a couple of years ago, she actually ran at Canterbury Park and got beat a couple times, ended up winning once or twice before she went on to start competing and winning in graded stakes races. But we always talk about these horses, for example, on the rail is the one, Pink Sands. Well, that one sold for $625,000. And, you know, we've talked throughout the summer about some of these expensive horses. You get to Escape Clause. The sire is something named Going Commando. I've never heard of that one. Stud fee's $1,000. This was a horse that was, you know, bred to a no-name sire with kind of just a mare that was pretty average, and now has won 20 of 34 starts and $856,000. So that is one of the cool things about racing, is you can do all the breeding and analysis and spend all the money you want. Doesn't always make that horse into a racehorse, and then you can have a horse like Escape Clause, who's just got brilliant speed. She tries every time. And she's making a lot of money for a small trainer. Don Schnell is a guy that runs at Turf Paradise. He ran in Iowa. He used to run up at Assiniboia. So he's not he was stabled here with Escape Clause early this summer, but he was training her to go on this campaign out east. So that's a cool story in racing. We're not going to get a big price, but we're going to get a great effort out of Escape Clause.
If people out there listening wanted to go with a price in this particular race, race 8 at Churchill tomorrow, what is the horse that you would maybe promote or say you might have a great chance at a price? The horse that I'm looking at a price, not my top selection, but the horse that's interesting to me is Pink Sands at the one horse at 8-1.
Yeah, you've got a Corey Lannery rides, who's a well-known rider in Kentucky, and he's got the rail. Horse has been really competitive in these big races. This is a grade 3 race. This horse has been competitive in grade 3s and in grade 2s as well. I usually like to look at that, you know, the horses that can run against some of the best. Pink Sands will be a price, and we'll get a nice ground-saving trip along the rail. I can't blame you there, and if you like Escape Clause to not get caught playing an exacta with Pink Sands underneath, is a pretty good approach as well.
Yeah, and I love the trainer. I love the trainer there,
yeah.
Too.
Yep, Shug McGee. He is a Hall of Fame trainer for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he's a great trainer. All right, let's go to race number 9 at Woodbine, a big-time race here, the Woodbine Mile. It's a grade 1 for $1 million, $1 million. And this is a tough one because one of my favorite horses in the entire I was going to say in the entire country, but in the world, I guess you could say that right now, is Got Stormy. Got Stormy is a horse that we've given out on this show a couple of times this summer. The horse, we gave him out, and he went and won a grade 1 at 5-1, and people cashed a ticket there the last time out. He's 8-5, the morning line choice. I really am all about Got Stormy. Man, 8-5 is a little bit low of a number to stomach. It's still my horse, but that's tough to take.
Yeah, I agree. And that's when, you know, with horse racing, because you get to see the odds as the race is coming up, you can shop around a little bit. You're right. Got Stormy is headed to the Breeders' Cup and has done nothing wrong. He's won 7 of 15 lifetime. And when we look at miles like this, and this is a little bit quirkier than those. If you're used to American racing, and Woodbine is up in Toronto, and it's a really big course. Most American race courses, if you're running a mile, you're going around two turns. This is a one-turn mile. In other words, they start way in the back, go down the back stretch or up the back stretch, around the turn, and hit the finish line. So, I like milers, horses that are proven at a mile. And like Get Stormy is having won 7 times, but this is a quirky one. So, I wanted to look at horses that maybe had run well at Woodbine, possibly, or horses that were coming from Europe where the track configurations are a little different. And I took a long look at the 6 Awesome Tank, trained by Bill Haggis, who I don't know. He's a European trainer. This horse was competitive over at Ascot and at Epsom in England. and is 3 for 6 going a mile. So this horse is a miler. A lot of these horses that do come from Europe are super competitive. This one came over and at 15-1 ran second in a grade one, the Beverly D at Arlington. So we know that we've got a horse that can run a little bit. I think she should get a good tracking trip. When you look at her European past performances, she's either up close or right off the lead. I don't see a whole ton of pace in this race. So I think Awesome Tank could get a nice trip. You might get 8 or 10 to 1.
Okay, help me with the name for the two horse. How do you pronounce that? It's the McLaughlin horse.
It looks like Lucullen to me.
It looks like Lucullen. Yep, it looks like. So I'm interested in that horse because I just look at what I see on paper, and this horse looks like he has a shot. Because one of the things that you have to do in horse racing is look for the value. Okay, there's value plays there. And Gotstormy, that's my favorite, one of my favorite horses. There's no value in betting him, though, right? Not to say that I don't like him to win tomorrow, but I'm going to shop around like you just mentioned. Raging Bull, Major Look, those are Chad Brown horses. They're going to get bet down. Gotstormy's going to get bet. I think that this Lucullen could be a horse that could be interesting at a price.
Yeah, I can't blame you. Again, Kieran McLaughlin, third time off a layoff. This horse has won 2 in a row. Like the horse that I was talking about as a price, Awesome Tank, same kind of style, can just kind of stalk that pace, does not need the lead, which is good. I think you want a horse that's trackable like this horse is, and you're going to get a good price. And again, that ground-saving trip, especially when they go down that long stretch, I mean, there's going to be some position jacking for position, but this horse should be able to hold the rail, and that's going to be important in this race, I think.
Hey, Jeff, we appreciate the time tonight, man. Let's check in pretty soon, all right?
And we'll see you out here for your birthday next weekend for sure.
Absolutely.
Right. Lunch is on me. We'll get some Italian food.
All right. We'll talk to you later. So, Jeff Medici, he's got me covered. He's got my lunch. He's got my birthday lunch. I love it, man. I appreciate it. All right. Coming up next, we'll get back into the world of, well, sports on the field in a football sense. Well, I say in a sense. I'll explain next year on Lake Night. All right. Thanks again to Jeff Medici from Canterbury Park for joining Lake's Big Bet. Plus, you heard him, right? He's taking care of my dinner next weekend.
Going to get Italian. I heard him.
What if I want to go steak? I can go to a Little Chicago Chop House, either
man,
or.
Man, you got
to
take that up with Jeff, man.
Cool like that. We're buds like that. Me and Jeff are good.
Well, but I mean,
he's going to give me he's going to say whatever you want. Like,
yeah, but if he's going to get you hooked up and he's like, hey, we're going to
he's
get
got
you
me
this.
Hooked up with either. I could make it to the Little Chop House when they had the grand opening. I had to be doing Twins baseball. So you can go in there.
You can just make any demand that you want.
Yep,
and
I absolutely
honor.
Yeah, I can.
So you're basically saying Jeff Medici, Canterbury Park, they are at your liege.
Yes.
Whatever Henry Lake wants, Henry Lake gets.
Is Jeff Medici on any other show on this station?
No.
Is there any other segment that's called whatever Big Bet? Okay.
You are the only Lake's Big Bet.
Yes, that is correct.
Of course, Lake's Big Bet really wouldn't work on a, you know, Lake's Big Bet with Jeff.
Well, somebody else could have a big
Lake's
bet,
big
couldn't
bet
they?
With Dave Lee.
Somebody else could have Lake's a big bet. Dave.
Yeah.
Like me and Canterbury, we're tight like that.
Yeah. You're tight like that?
Oh, yeah.
You go way back?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Me and the Sampson family, we're good.
So
we're good.
So nobody else could just.
Shout out Randy Sampson.
I love how you say it's my birthday week, too. Not just birthday week. Hey, next week's my birthday week.
No, my birthday, because my birthday actually is the 18th, so yeah. It falls on a game day for the Twins. So, I don't do anything Monday through Friday. It's all about just
work. It's all work, yeah.
So, my one day off is Saturday, so I'll try to do something then. Hey, let me get to this. This is just ridiculous. Like, as a Viking fan, I can't stand Bear fans. Or the Bears. I can't stand Packer fans and the Packers. You get it. So let's just start with that. But I would never threaten a Packer fan. I would never threaten a Bears fan. I would never threaten a Lions fan. And some people just take this sports stuff way too serious. This past week, a New York Giants fan was so angry about the New England Patriots signing Antonio Brown. He allegedly issued a threat on Facebook to shoot up random people at Gillette Stadium, according to CBS4 in Boston. His name, Tobias Gray, was arrested at his home in East Providence, Rhode Island, Sunday. He was handcuffed and wore a Giants jersey and jacket during a court appearance in Providence Monday on unrelated assault charges. The 44-year-old was charged with simple and domestic assault and threatening police officers at the time of his arrest. All right, I didn't time this out greatly. I want to continue this story after the break. That's my bad. I screwed up the clock. But you got to hear what the hell that he did to threaten people. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. It needs to stop. We'll get to that next year on Late Night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.